Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be in the house of God today. Amen. I come to expect to hear from the Lord today. You say, well, you're the speaker. Well, I'm hoping that I get out of the way and he could speak this morning. Amen. That's what I come with an expectation to. He don't have to speak to you. He don't have to use me. But if I come with that expectation that he's going to utilize this vessel to speak to his people, to encourage them and to strengthen them and to anoint them and to bring them to a greater revelation or mystery, whatever it may be, then I'm ready. Anybody else desiring those things this morning? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Praise you, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give
you. Let's close our eyes, saints, and worship the Lord this morning.
Because of who you are.
Ask him to prepare your heart to receive.
I will lift my voice and say,
thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are.
The Bible commands us and teaches us that we have to worship our Lord. He's a God of worship, amen. We got to learn to make that connection, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because of who
we praise your name, Lord God.
I give you glory.
Just close your eyes this morning. Talk to him. Say, Lord Jesus, help me this morning. Father, let me feel your spirit, your anointing.
Because of who you are.
It's because of who you are, my Lord and my God.
I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
We praise your name, Jesus.
Lord, I
hallelujah. Can you feel the strength? I can feel the power right now that breaks the yoke. Amen. Lift up your hands this morning and say, Lord God, I praise your name today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of our Lord. Amen. He said, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. Lift up your hands and say, I praise you, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord God. You're my Lord, my God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because of who you are.
We love you, Jesus.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Because of who you are.
Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to feel the touch of the Master's hand? Isn't it wonderful for him to lift them burdens off of you? Hallelujah. He can break every bondage, every power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Who you are.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God.
Lord, I worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because of who you are.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
worship him.
Worship
because he's worthy.
Because
he's our Lord. He's our God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jehovah Jireh.
We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Jehovah Nissi. Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah,
we love you, Lord.
Shalom, my Prince of Peace. And I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Most gracious Father, as we stand before you this morning, Lord God, knowing we're not worthy, Lord God, but knowing by your labors and your works that worthy we are, Lord God, by that bloodshed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most gracious Father, we stand before you, Lord God, in awe. We stand before you, Lord God, in thankfulness and gratitude, Lord God. Father, knowing that Father, we could have been made to be taken and burned, Lord God, and cast into eternal damnation, Lord God, for all of eternity. But Father, by your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord, Father, let us make that calling and election sure, Lord God, that we know that our name is in the book of life. Move us, Lord God, on beyond the religious veil of intellectual darkness, Lord God, and move us into the wonderful light of the glory of our Lord and Savior, Lord God. Father, we have an expectation once again of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You can all be seated this morning. We'll try to go into the Word. I listened last night to a radio broadcast of Brother Pike back in the 80s. It wasn't a radio broadcast, it was a live radio show. Some of you probably heard it, but I marveled at the thing that I marveled about. Wasn't the things that Brother Pike was saying. I was marveling at the response of the people that even called in on this radio broadcast. I marveled at thinking like, come on now. You know, there was ministers that were calling in and, you know, saying, well, I'm a preacher. I've been in the Word all my life, this and that. And they called Brother Pike a fool. One of them did. I'm thinking, wow. And they simply do not understand the Word of God and what Jesus came to do. They'll call themselves a preacher. They'll call themselves a pastor. They'll call themselves Christians. And I mean, you know, we got to think of what was the purpose of Jesus coming. Was it for we could start a church, have a little bless me club? You know, what is it all about? You see, without Jesus, there was a problem in humanity and mankind. It's called death. You understand that? And people see people dying every day. Well, I know my grandmother was a godly woman. And if my grandma died, you know, man, you can't tell me that Jesus abolished death. You can't tell me he conquered death. You know, and they observe life through the vanity. They observe everything through the vanity. People have this saying, you hear it said all the time, well, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, what you see is a lie. Everything that these eyes see is a lie. Because this is the lying vanity world. This world, your flesh, your life, your breath, your heartbeat, everything's a lie. Well, I know if that heart quits, you're dead. Well, you're relative to this world then. You're relative to humanity and mankind. And you know, I understand the things that I say and the things that Brother Pike was teaching and trying to say and the things that Jesus was trying to teach. You know, people that are natural and carnal, they go by what they feel. Well, I like this because it feels good. I like this because it tastes good. Whatever. That's man. They savor the things to the flesh. And they die. If you live by the flesh, you die by the flesh. So we've got to realize that there's another revelation, another world, and another one. Put Romans 8 on the little Bible on the right there, Brother Chuck, if you don't mind. And go down to verse 38, I believe. 8:38, if I'm correct there. I want to start out by reading that. I wrote down a couple scripture references I don't often do. But I usually just come and go by leading Lord. Knowing I got Brother Chuck back there, could help me look up things as the Lord brings them to remembrance. But this morning, because this was in my spirit, and it wasn't like I said, what isn't in my spirit is what Brother Pike was teaching. It is in my spirit, yes, but what moves me so much is that people that got on this radio broadcast with an arrogancy and a boldness to rebuke a man of God for teaching what Jesus taught. You know, Brother Pike was just trying to tell him he's come to a revelation, a mystery, that he's immortal, that he cannot die. And they say, boy, you're going to have a rude awakening. Radio broadcast says, you know what, sir? He said, in one way, I kind of like, you know, that you've got the, he didn't use the term audacity or what, but he said, that you're going to come here on this radio broadcast and you're going to stand for these people. He said, I kind of admire you for that you are. He goes, I'm talking to you, and by like talking to you, you're really convinced of this. You're really convinced that you're not going to die. Yeah. You know, and he goes, but what if I read an obituary? And this radio broadcaster and the people calling in, they really never gave him much of a chance to expound on it. They'd ask a question, and then they would cut him off before he ever had a chance. And Brother Pike would say, I wish y'all had time. I wish you had time. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I said, death couldn't separate us. Is that what he said right there? Did anybody read that? Okay, what are we going to do with that? There ain't nothing. But you know, it seems like, you know, the Bible teaches us this. It said the last enemy of God is death. Okay? Now, I noticed that even when these callers were calling in on this radio broadcast, they had absolutely zero abilities to differentiate dimensions. And as the radio broadcaster says, he goes, what's going to happen, Reverend Pike, if one day I read in obituaries and find out that Reverend George Pike is dead? And he died. He goes, you know, what is this going to do to your followers? Well, let me tell you something, brethren. It devastated some of his followers. There's some of Brother Pike's men that sat under him that claimed to have the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, claimed to be walking with him. And when he went off the scene, I had two of them come to me, and one of them got so absolutely ignorant. He grabbed his shirt and started ripping his shirt and like this. And he started coming against everything Brother George taught. He started coming against holiness, wearing long sleeve shirts. He started coming against everything. He just went out of his mind. You see, and what happened is the man never saw the mystery, a secret. He never saw the revelation. It was never revealed to him. He was receiving this revelational doctrine, and a man of God saying, hey, I passed from death unto life. I can't die. And they heard that, and they put their trust in this physical being that they were looking at, and he went off the scene, and their faith got shipwrecked. Brother Pike made an attempt to try to speak in this message. He said, sir, let me ask you a question. And he spoke about Jesus when he was alive and walking among men, which we know he's still alive, but I'm talking about when he was here in this mortal body, we might say, word made flesh. And he came across the tomb, you know, said, man, we wish you could have been here 4 days ago when Lazarus was alive. Wish you could have been here. And the Lord Jesus spoke to her and said, oh, he's asleep. And they said, no, he's not asleep. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. He said, he stinketh by now. Jesus said, no, he's asleep. I choose to believe Jesus. And Brother Chuck, for just a moment, put that scripture up there for we can have scriptural vindication about Lazarus there. And where Jesus went to the tomb, we know that he went forth and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called him forth and said that he come out of this tomb with the grave clothes still wrapped around, and they told him to get the grave clothes, loose him of those things. There was a revelation in that, in him being loosed of those things. The Lord Jesus made a statement, and they argued with him. His followers argued with him. The people that he doctrinated argued with him. He said, no, he's just asleep. Now, even in this radio broadcast, some of the people went in and said, well, look, that sleep means death. Well, if it does mean death, why did they not put down death there? They got death in other places in the Bible. Come on now. They got death in other places in the Bible. Why didn't they use death there? Why doesn't it say that when it talks about our forefathers in the scriptures, even where the church goes to the scriptures to talk about the Thessalonian change, they call it. Why does it say that the forefathers that went on to sleep? Why does it say that? Why didn't it say the ones that died? Because we got to stay with the word line upon line. These things said he, and after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, when we start differentiating sleep and death. Now, if you come home one day and your wife is laying in the bed, and she's stiff as a board, heart ain't beating, no color in her, you say, she's dead. That's what you're going to say. If you call the coroner's office or you call the ambulance, say, hey, she's dead. That's what you're going to say. That's what you've been trained to do. Can I dispute that? When the heart quits, the lungs quit, that's death to what we would say to this body. Is that right? But here's the thing, brethren. We have come into another dimension of life. There's a life to this world, and it's relative to blood. You take the blood out of this man, that's death to this thing. But we're not part of that world no more. If you're born of God, you're born of what? Spirit. Okay, we're born of the Spirit. The life that we're dependent upon now is relative to the Spirit. The physical life is relative to the blood. When you've received this born again, now remember, it's born again. I could say second born, okay? I say that just to make you think, because we've used the terminologies born again, born again, born again. So often, and sometimes we've turned it into a religious you know, symbol or statement. So sometimes I might say second birth, make you think again, think a little bit differently. There's something born. Now the thing is, with all the exuberance and excitements and the things that take place when a little baby's born in this world, when you're your first time dad or the first time mom and all the excitement of those things, let me tell you, that doesn't even show us, doesn't even give us a scratch of the surface of what being born again is. But there's so many people that say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, that live like dogs and devils, so nobody's excited about the born again experience. I mean, I got people right here in this church this morning. They're like, nah, you know, hey, so be it. I've heard this preacher before, you know, nah. I'm not exaggerating. I'm trying to say that this is the way their spirit's projected before God. It's like lackadaisical, man, you know, well, so be it, you know. Hey, come on, let's go to the burger shop. Let's go get another dress. Let's go do this. Let's go. And they're so lackadaisical and lukewarm and lighthearted when it comes to pressing into the kingdom of God. They haven't come to revelation of what I'm saying yet. They haven't abolished death. It's not abolished in their life. The carnal mind, the Bible says, is death. You say death is when, you know, the heart quits. Death is when the air quits going in and out of the lungs. That's what death is. The Bible says the carnal mind is death. Now we start talking about life and born again, and we say a first birth born into this natural world, and then we talk about born again, talking about being birthed by the Spirit. So then we go over and start talking about death, and you say, well, you know, here's a death that, you know, my granddaddy died or whatever, you know, and that's death, and say, no. But then the Bible goes again, talks about the second death. Now when you start getting into the Spirit, this is where people go wrong, and I'll use the term chronological. It's an order, a chronological order. And you think, well, you know, because we're speaking and what you see and what you think, you say, well, the born again means I was born after I was born here. But really, Brother Pike used to use a term, he'd say, well, you got to reverse it sometimes to get the revelation. Now, the thing is that actually when you're born into the kingdom of God, it's before the world ever was. The Bible says that you were leaping for joy before the foundation of this world. Come on now. But you think like a man. You think, you know, well, you know, this and that. Or I don't believe it lest I see it. But we've got to get into the Word of God. You see, what the things that I'm saying isn't a new revelation to you. You've heard these things. But it ain't came to a revelation yet to you. To many of you, it hasn't really come to a revelation. And when I listen to this broadcast, I'm thinking, you know what? It's no different. I got people exactly the same way in the same thought pattern. They hear what I'm saying. And I'm teaching the same thing that Brother Pike was teaching, same thing that the Apostle Paul's teaching, the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. But the people were struggling. Jesus had people before him, and he said, though you have eyes, though you're looking at me, dude, you know, though you're sitting there looking at me and you're nodding your head, yes, and stuff like that, but you ain't seeing me, nor are you hearing me. Faith come by hearing of the word. By hearing of the word. Well, I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing the word of God go forth. But are you? You say, well, I go to church and I listen to the preacher. I got faith. Faith cometh by hearing, but are you hearing? I was listening to these people that weren't hearing. I'm listening to ministers. One even spoke to the strength and, you know, he felt like he was a scholar of the Bible. He said, I've been in the Bible for many years and this man's a fool. And I'm thinking, wow, this is absolutely what everything Jesus came to do. How many of you, you know, believe what your Bible says? Let me go back to right here in Romans. In verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through all what things? I could back up. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Right there in verse 33. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. I was listening to some teaching the other day from an individual, and they were putting so much on the death of Jesus Christ. They put so much emphasis on the death of Jesus Christ. Hey, let me tell you something. That's not our power, brother, by Jesus coming to the world and dying. There's a lot of men that come to the world and die, brethren. We're the children not of his death. We are the children of the resurrection. You understand? But you know what? I'm listening to all this about, oh man, I'm so thankful Jesus died. I'm so thankful he shed his blood. I'm so thankful he resurrected. Amen. He had to die, we do know that, just as you got to die. Well, wait a minute, you telling us, Brother Rob, come on, man, you're just here telling that death is conquered, it's abolished, it's done away with, and that we don't have to die. You know, so what do you mean? You just said again, See, this is why we need to learn to differentiate. The Bible said it's appointed. Could you pull that scripture and put it up there? It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Okay, there's two key things in that. It's appointed unto every man. He'll find it there and put it up there in a minute. We'll read it properly. I paraphrase and people get upset with me because I don't say it right down the thing. And sometimes you can add words or something or say things that could change the meaning of it. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay, now, let me ask you this. When Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I find you yet carnal. I find you yet in this mind of death. I find you yet in this mind of death, but I'd really like to speak to you in the mind of life. And I know that's really paraphrasing. But he's saying, I would like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you carnal. I find you relative to death, relative to this world, your thoughts in this world, and things like that. But somewhere we've got to believe the word of God. Are y'all with me? Do you have to believe the word of God? If we can't take a hold of this word and believe every bit of it, we're wasting our time. We got to believe what this word says, 100%. We got to stay in the word, believe the word, and apply the word. Okay, now, Galatians, the second chapter, 20th verse. I know I quote it often. You can put that up there if he likes. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, when you're crucified, is that usually a death? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. A very important word right there, faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, put up Hebrews 11:1 up there right now, and we'll read that. Now he said by faith. He's declaring faith that he's died with Christ. He's declaring by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if we have something, we wouldn't be hoping for it. If Brother Jonathan wanted him a cordless mic to go out and do evangelism work, it's a hope he has. I got one. I don't have no hope for it. I got it right here in my hand. I'm not looking for this. I got it. Amen? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, how do we get... Now, we went into the scriptures the other day about the unseen world, right? Y'all stay with me now a little bit. Yeah, we've just been religious. We've just been religious. We're going to have to get spiritual. We're going to have to get a desire for these things. If you have no desire for these things, you'll perish and go to hell. I'm sorry. The Bible said that when you have this, his spirit, you have a hunger for this. You have a drawing for this. You're wanting this. You know, when I was studying to be a pilot and was training and flying, man, I applied myself. You know why? Because I wanted to pursue. I wanted to get my certificates. I wanted to start being able to be more utilized instead of just being around the airport working on airplanes. I wanted to be flying them. I wanted to get to a place that I wasn't just washing them and cleaning them and vacuuming and then doing maintenance on them and stuff. I wanted to start flying them. So I had to apply myself. Now, the thing is right now you don't have really no need of God, brethren. The Bible said the rich answereth haughtily, you have no need of God. You got everything you want. You got deception in your heart. You got deception in your spirit. You've got work. You got finances. You got money. You know, you don't need God. I could just be the one to tell you that. You don't need God. You got medicines. You got insurance. You know, you can go to do whatever you want. Just forget about God. Get with it in the world. Get out there and just live it up, dance it up, swing it up, dope it up, snort it up, cheat it up. Do whatever you want to do. Because you're going to hell anyway. You say, well, I don't like that, Brother Rob. Well, I'm just telling you, if you're going to be carnal-minded, you're in death anyway. So why play games with this? All you do is come to church and bring judgment down on your head. That's all you're doing. You come to church and you get judgment put on you because that's what I'm called to do. If we went back to the scripture that I just read, it said that it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Come on now. Okay, so now let's start talking about this death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Then the Bible talks about a second death. Well, man is born into this world, savoring the things of this world, fleshly, carnal. He's got a demon spirit when he takes his first breath. Well, I don't believe that. Then why did the Bible say the rod of correction will drive that spirit far from the child? What spirit's trying to drive from it? Can I beat that spirit of death out of a child? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And some of you have grown up, some of you got married, and you still got that same old stinking spirit of death on you, and you're too ignorant to see it. You're too carnal. You got too much confidence in your skills and your abilities. I was trained up as a young man. I was flying airplanes before I could see over the windshield. I was too small of a child to see out the windshield. So I learned to fly an airplane by instruments. Most of the guys learned to fly by looking out the window, and then it was very difficult for them to learn to fly by instrument. And I learned the opposite way because of my stature, my size. When I was 9 years old, I was driving 2-ton trucks. You know, these trucks that are, that's what they're rated. And I was driving them to the wash racks to wash them, take care of them, and the pickup trucks to do those. So you say, well, whoopee-doo. I'm just relating to you. You get a good understanding. You get a good mind. My dad leaned on us as children. He paid us well. When I was a kid, I had money and finances because I worked. I didn't have a choice. I worked. I went to the airport and I worked. And this was the thing that was going to destroy me and put me in hell. I got overconfident. Blessed, I could do anything I want. I could do what I want. My wife rode around with me in an airplane when I was 17, 18 years old, putting our children, 19 years old, had an old twin-engine airplane, and we flew all over the country. Whoopee-doo. I was on my way to hell, brethren. I had confidence in my skills, confidence in my abilities, confidence in those things, but I was dead. You get confidence in your job, you get confidence in your finances, you get confidence in your money, you get confidence in these things, you're going to perish, is what you're going to do. The Bible said, put no confidence in the flesh. Okay, oh, I could go out and work and I could make money. That was my idea. But what are you going to do when America shuts down? How many people are going to want a new tile countertop when we got army tanks rolling across America? When we got missiles coming over our borders? Now, you don't see that coming. But let me tell you, why can't you see it coming when it's happening in every other country around the world and everybody hates us and hates Israel? But then yet we sit in our lukewarm, lascivious ideology and we're deceitful to the preacher. We could care less if we're in church. Coming to church on time don't mean nothing. Well, I'm just going to show up. This and that. We need to start showing some concern for the Word of God. Now, I know it sounds like strong reproof here, but I'm saying, you know, there's sayings that are signs in your life. There's sayings that are showing things up in your life. There's things that are showing that you're lackadaisical, you're lukewarm, you're lascivious, and you're savoring the things of this world. And you say, well, Brother Rob, man, we go out and try to work on church jobs. We try to do that. And I say, thank you. I commend you for those things. But I'm talking about a mind. I'm talking about a mind. Brother Troy, when he was here in this church, he wanted to give thousands of dollars and he wanted to be a whoremonger. Well, I'm going to go out here and lay with this woman. I'm going to go out here and get this woman. I've come to this revelation, man, that I'm born of God and I can't sin. That's a lie from hell. Whoa, that's the word of God. He wasn't born of God, was the lie of hell. Because when you're born of God, you don't do those things. So they take a little bit here and they take a little bit here and they do what they want. Some of you have come into this message enough, but you're as skeptical as those people that were calling on this radio broadcast about passing from death unto life. One thing that we can't forget, the scripture that we read this morning, it says, you know, when it talks about it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, I can't do away with that scripture, can I? Can I? That's the word of God. I got to preach that word. You say, well, Brother Rob, you say that you're more than a conqueror. Why am I more than a conqueror? Because Jesus came to conquer death. If that's not what he came for, come on, that's what he came to. He came and he was tore up because the Bible says that by one man this death came. This sin, sin is the sting of death, but this death came by one man, talking about Adam. And he said that it was done away and taken away by one man, the Lord Jesus. So we got to realize this. Well, do you believe what Jesus did? Now, if death came to everybody by one man, and can't death be taken away by one man? Isn't that what the Bible says? We can have that scripture pulled up and put on the board if we need to. We have to believe the Word of God. We got to have faith that we had up there just a moment ago in 11. We got to have this faith. We got to have faith in this Word. Let me tell you what faith does. When we go to the scriptures, and we find that Abraham was way beyond age of having a seed in him that was powerful enough to bring forth a child. His wife, Sarah, she was way beyond age for the woman's cycle. She was way beyond age for a woman. The Bible said that her womb was dead, barren, dead. And when she heard the angel of the Lord speaking to her husband, she laughed. Come on now. She laughed and mocked God. Lightly esteemed God. You know, I'm an old woman. You know, I've got to have a child, laughed. It grieved God. Now, if that grieved God, you think it could grieve God for you to sit in your intellectual ideology and to sit in your carnal mind and reason against the Word of God? What do you think when a preacher calls in and a man of God is sitting there with a microphone on nationwide radio and the preacher says, "This guy's a fool"? Come on, man. Don't you think that would grieve God? The carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. So what mind are you? How do you weigh things out? How do you analyze things? How do you do this, brethren? What do you look at? What do you see? You know, God could be merciful to some of you. You're young and show some mercy, but what are you going to do? If I took you over to Matthew 24 right now and it said, you know, trust and pray that, you know, the baby's not in suck when this time comes. Trust and pray it ain't winter time. Some of you's in the winter. Some of you is in suck right now. You ain't got enough strength to eat the meat of the Word, and you're getting a little bit of the milk of the Word. You know, the Bible teaches to desire the sincere milk of the Word, but there's another place that says what's going to happen to them and just stay in the milk. They're going to perish. We need strength, brethren. When you find in the animal world, you'll find that they pull off of the mother and they start eating meat. And they get their strength and they get their power. We got to get into the meat of the Word. We got to get beyond just being religious. We got to get beyond just being, you know, well, you know, hey, I'm doing everything I know to do. I go to church. Church is bringing judgment. It's appointed unto man wants to die, then the judgment. This is what's happening right now today. It's judgment. If you've really died, you're receiving the judgment now, saying, wait a minute, I got to keep this man dead. So we're in a transition realm, okay? Some people think they understand first, second, third heaven. Teachings out here in the church were, well, the third's heaven out there in the outer space and the stars. You know, and the second heaven's over here in this realm. That's an allegory to it. You know, where the birds fly and all these things and the creatures up here. You know, and then this earth, the part down here on the earth, on the ground is, you know, I'm not going to contest that. I'm saying, okay, but if that's as far as you go, you'll die with that. It's got to get a revelation a little bit beyond. A little bit beyond that. You say, well, I know that Jesus is in the third heaven. Well, man, we need to get this space shuttle program going again. My God, what is wrong with us Americans? We let this space shuttle program go, and that could have been our ticket to get up there and to see Jesus. Man, we're much better today than they were at the Tower of Babel. You know, they were going to build this, but we got the capabilities today, man. We could launch out. What a joke. You think you're going to find it out there? Hey, there's preachers, television evangelists that teach that heaven's out there on a planet. I understand Kenneth Copeland was teaching that at one time. Isn't that something? Oh, but we're going to come into this thing and we just poof out. Beam me up, Scotty. Here I am. How carnal-minded is that? When Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were there with him. Where'd they come from? Where were they at? They were in glory. Jesus was in glory. Amen. Oh, that's right. I forgot to read that part. That when he got up on top of that high mount, that he got in a chariot and went on off out somewhere. Well, Elijah went in a chariot and he went up. I say, praise God. Revelation in that. How high did he go up in that chariot? You know, I'm not lightly esteeming the Word. Don't misunderstand me. I'm mocking these religious people with their ignorant ideology. I'm going to believe the Word. The last enemy of God was what? What is it? It's death. The last enemy is death. Okay? Now, how many believe that Jesus finished and conquered? Come on, if He's our conqueror, He's the finisher, He's the author and the finisher, okay? Now, if we can believe that He finished death, then we need to be a people that say that we've passed from death unto life. Now, in that Bible, the Bible says again, I read it here a moment ago, I'm persuaded, He said. It was in Romans 8:30, it says, for I am persuaded. I am persuaded. Hey, let me tell you what the power of persuasion is. Sometimes you can be so persuaded that you're right and that this guy's wrong, that you're going to miss it. You're going to miss something. You could be so persuaded You know, that you could do something and you can't, or whatever, by being overconfident. Persuasion is a great thing to have, especially if it's in God. Can you say that you're persuaded this morning that you are eternal? Can you say today that you're persuaded that you are living forever? Can you tell me today that you're persuaded that you have absolutely no fear of death? Can you tell me that you are so persuaded about it that when you stand in a doctor's office and he looks you in the eye and he says, "Sir, you got 3 months to live," that you can smile back and say, "Man, I'm eternal"? You may not be happy about shortening your days on this earth. You may not be happy, but you know, you got to be so persuaded that you have passed from death unto life that nothing moves you. And when you're in that kind of a situation, you've got peace. You're not afraid of Russia's atomic powers. When I was a child, I was afraid of Russia's atomic powers. You see, I was in a generation that came in, you know, after, you know, World War II and after this Korean War and the Vietnam conflict and things was happening when I was a kid. But man, they kept talking about this superpower, Russia. And they would put it on the news and they showed all these missiles. It looked like miles of them long going down parades and all these missiles. And we had them right over here in Cuba, you know, just 120 some miles off of the Florida tip down there, pointing right over into our country, you know, and all these things around, and they're talking. I remember when they started, you know, putting the satellites out there and all the kind of things they're teaching. And man, I was afraid that this big bomb was coming. The news media led us to believe, man, there's going to be a big bomb any day. The Bible scholars, the theologians, the prophets, all of them are talking about this thing all the time. Hey, I was scared. I raised up in a heathen home. I don't want to die. You got to come to a place that you're persuaded that you passed from death unto life. You know, it'll get real when you get a death sentence. It'll get real to you. You're either going to be really in or you're going to be really out. I've been in the room with them on the deathbed and holding their hand on more than one occasion when they go off the scene. I've seen the fear in their eyes. I've seen them scared. You see, but they're not persuaded. They're not persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, you say, that's separating you from the love of God. Well, death will surely separate you from the love of God, brethren. But he says it can't do it. The second death will for sure. The second death. Okay, well, Brother Rom, you have not died either death. I'm looking at you. And if you died the first death, then, you know, you would be out there in a grave in a box or something. But the second death means that, you know, you're going to come forth in the resurrection with Christ. You know, and I'm telling you, this is standard Christianity thinking. They think that the first death is if they put you in a box out here. Okay? They're not altogether wrong. It depends on what dimension you're looking at things from. But they say that would be the first death. The second death is when they stand this white throne judgment of God that said that the dead will come forth in a resurrection, going to resurrect the dead. I'm the resurrection unto life, not death. Another resurrection. Okay? But they're going to come forth in a resurrection, going to stand the white throne judgment. And then the Bible says that death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell. You say, there's your abolishing of death right there. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. Jesus Christ was crucified, we could say, looking at it chronologically speaking, a couple thousand years ago. Okay? Just for a figure, we'll say, you know, somewhere close to 2,000 years ago. Are you with me? But then my Bible says that he was crucified before this world ever was. Now, which one are you going to believe? Was the one that happened 2,000 years ago a fulfillment to the one that had taken place in the foreknowledge of God? Now, we're talking spirit. There's no time in the spirit. There's absolutely, when we get into the spirit dimension, it's not relative to time. It's not relative to death. It's not relative to those things. So now, because you're carnal, because you're natural, you're going to be relative to what you see, what you touch. You say, you know, I don't care. You know, I can give you $1 million. You're relative to that. Oh, man, I like this. Boy, and I tell you what, you would probably doing cartwheels, backflips, somersaults. You ain't got enough strength to get out of bed. You don't feel like doing nothing or anything. I give you $1 million, all of a sudden, well, you got this rejuvenation, son. I mean, to tell you, you'd be having all kinds of strength. One of the brethren in this church one time, he said, you know what? I asked my wife to vacuum and clean up the house. She, oh, I'm just too feeble. I got to pay another sister to come over and vacuum and do all this kind of stuff. But he said, man, she could be laying in there doing nothing. I said, come on, let's go to the sushi bar. And he said, man, she could outrun me to the truck. He said, this is what she do, outrun me to the truck. Well, what gave her the strength? Is it, man, if it's that much good stuff in sushi, man, let's go now. It's a state of mind. That's all I'm saying. State of thought. We can do whatever we want, whatever we desire. We're talking about death, though. Have you passed from death unto life? Do you believe that? Do you have that faith? If you have that faith, you're going to be persuaded. If you don't have the faith, you won't be persuaded of what I'm saying. You know, Brother Pike asked his brother one time, there's a small group of men, you know, probably 15, 20 men together. And he said, brethren, he said, do you really believe that you're gods? Come on now. Do you believe? And they say, oh, yeah. And he goes, no, you don't. He rebuked them. He said, no, you don't. And they say, oh, no, no, Brother George, I believe. I believe. He said, no, you don't. So why would this man of God that's teaching them one thing sitting there telling them they're not believing it? Oh, he's a man of God. He needs to speak faith. He needs to speak faith to them. Need to speak to them and encourage them. I agree. But somewhere we got to get a hold of this. We got to believe it. Let's go over to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Where's the life at? Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Come on now, wake up. You need to be listening. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God who I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. You have that this morning? That without ceasing I have remembrance of these in my prayer night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith. Let me define unfringed here. Was this what we're going to have, brethren? Unwhat? Unfeigned? There's no, oh, sorry. Unfeigned. Undissembled, sincere. Without dissimulation. Now, there's another definition I read in that dictionary back there. Pull that dictionary out that I had you give me a minute ago, Brother Billy. And I want you to look up that word. Brother Chuck could maybe put it up here. There we go. Thank you. Just taking time a minute. Genuine, true. Not pretended. Sincerely felt or expressed. And that's a new word for me, unfeigned. Anybody ever heard that word before? Anybody ever use it? Huh? It's only in the Bible. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes we go by these things, brethren, and you know, if we just said, you know, a sincere faith, that's probably good. What was the definition in that one? Go ahead and read it aloud. Okay. Not hypocritical? Do we have hypocritical faith? Think about it. What's hypocritical mean? What does it mean to be hypocritical? A hypocrite is something, it's like, from the Greek word or the Hebrew word, whatever one it is that it come forth, is almost like an actor. It's acting. You know, and the word for actor in one of those languages is, it's the form of this word or from hypocrite. And you know, there's people that act. You see, when you have faith in something, you know, I've had people say they're going to act like they've got faith to me, and there could be something that they're facing, and they say the right thing. They think, well, if I speak this positive profession, because the Bible said that Jesus is the high priest of my profession, that if I speak this, it's showing I have faith. Not necessarily. The seven sons of Sceva, I use them oftentimes, and they spoke. You know, get you behind me, Satan. Or they spoke and rebuked him. He said, hey, You know, this Apostle Paul, I do know him. This Lord Jesus Christ, I do know him. But who are you? You see, you remember the message not long back I ministered about, you don't know who you are? Come on now. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Come on. Let's stay with it. When I call to remembrance, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Now he's persuaded that faith's in them now. I like that. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I like that too. You believe in the power of laying on of hands? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Come on. God hadn't given us the spirit of fear. Do you believe that you pass from death unto life? Have you lost the fear of death? But of power and love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. I hear that scripture quoted so often, and of love and of the sound mind. Well, let me tell you, if he's given you this power of a sound mind, that means you're not double-minded, you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. If he's given you this love, that means that you love his word and you love his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The Bible teaches that. If you love him, his commandments are not grievous. So these are things we got to take with these scriptures. We got to apply these things with these when we read these things. Be not thou there ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Well, I don't know if I want to be partakers of no afflictions. I just like this Christianity, like Joel Osteen teaches us, you know, that, oh, we just love everybody. Oh, you shouldn't have called his name, Brother Rob. Well, we just love everybody, and everybody loves everybody, and da, da, da. The word feign means to make believe with the intent to deceive. He feigned that he was ill. To make pretense, he feigned sleep. So you have possum faith? I don't want no possum faith. All right, help us, Lord. I think I said verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm going to push the abolished here. I think we know what it means, but let's see what they're saying here. Abolish, cease, cumber, deliver, destroy, do away, make none, without. I think we know what it means. It's done. It's abolished. It's finished. You know, you could destroy something, you could abolish something. When something's abolished, I mean, it ain't no putting it back together. But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Now, I want you to listen to this part for a minute. He came and died and he resurrected. He abolished death. Is that talking about for just him? Now, we're going to read on here, but no, it isn't. Because let me tell you something. Why would he have come and done this for himself? Because he was and is the Prince of Life. There was no death in him. He's God. God is eternal. God is eternal. God cannot die. Amen. You understand that? The Bible said God cannot lie. Why can't he lie? Because he's the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of Life. The Spirit of Life can't die, brethren. That's what he is. That's what we are in him. Let's look at a couple scriptures that go along with this passage of scripture. Right here, and I'm just going to read a couple of them. And I kind of thought about this, what they decided to put in here in a chain. about verse 10. It says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Isaiah 25:8 says, he will swallow up death in victory. Now, this is a prophetical book that was prophesying what Jesus done. Okay? He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all the faces, and the rebuke of the people shall be taken away from off the earth of the Lord that hath spoken. What rebuke is he talking about there? What do you mean the rebuke off the people? When the elect children of God, these Hebrew children, were dying, that was a rebuke, because death came by man. But Jesus came to do away with death. He was going to take that rebuke away. He's taking that away from the people, brethren. And we got to believe this. You know, this Christian walk is by faith. We're saved by faith. Without faith, the Bible said it's impossible to please God. Impossible. You can't please him with your do's and your don'ts. The only way you can please him is by faith. And the Bible goes on to say, without faith, it's imputed to you as sin. As sin. Without faith, it's sin. What is sin? Death. Sin is the sting of death. So if you sin, you die. It's that simple. This is why the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. When you're born of God, you cannot sin, because if you sin, that means you can die. And I'm sitting here teaching this morning that you can't die. Well, you know, that'll manifest someday. The last enemy of God to be abolished is death. You say, well, it isn't abolished yet. But that makes the Word of God a lie. My Bible says this. Put that scripture up there, Brother Chuck. It says, I've passed from death unto life. I'm more than a conqueror. We read that down in here just a moment ago. And while he's doing that, let me read on just a little, or read a couple more of these for you. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, the gospel of life, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the revealing of the secret, which was kept secret since the world begun. The secret's out, brethren. The revelation's gone forth. The mystery of death being abolished is done, taken care of. We got to come to this revelation. Amen? Okay, 1 John 3, thank you, 14. It says, we know, 1 John 3, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, and he that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Now see, they're bringing life and death to an experience right now. Is that true? If I can't love my brother, I'm abiding in death. Isn't that what it's saying there? You know, I pass from death and life because I love my brother. You guys are easy to love. You know, let's go love some of them other ones out there. Then we know we've done it, huh? Amen. I want to read a couple more scriptures to you. It says, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality? You know the difference between mortality and immortality? Come on now. You're born as a mortal, but you're born again as an immortal. Have you been born again? Okay. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, the secret of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath purposed in himself. What is that mystery of his will? The Bible said it's his will that none perish. How many have read that? It is his will that none perish, not even one. So we got to bring that mystery to life. This is what we're reading here about this abolishment of death. Ephesians 3:9. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. How many are fellowship in this life? Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. Wow, he cannot lie. Promised before the world begun. Let me read 1 Peter 1:20 and I'm going to back up. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now see, he talked about the foreordination being crucified before the world ever was, but then in this end time, he said, he brought this thing to show. Now, Let me read Hebrews 2:14 real quick. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil." So the devil's the prince of death and Jesus is the prince of life. And he destroyed him. Can you believe that, saints of God? Now let's read just right on down a little bit more. I won't keep you too much longer. Y'all quiet this morning. What y'all so quiet about? Man, we're talking about, you know, overcoming death this morning. We're talking about being eternal, living forever. Hell, come on. Amen. Verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that they all which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes." I'm sorry, folks, I'm not a good reader. Not even the theologians pronounce some of these things differently, one or another, and, you know, but praise the Lord. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, as was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well." Now, let's go back up to this scripture for just a moment. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, let's talk about this for a moment. The Bible teaches us very clearly that this world is vanity. What is a vanity? In the bathroom, you hear them call a bathroom cabinet in there, a vanity cabinet. Well, the vanity is the mirror. Okay? That's what it is. If you would say, this is the mirror cabinet. You know, this is when we put the sink in or the lavatory cabinet or whatever. That's where the word vanity comes from. It's a mirror. Now, when you look into a mirror, brethren, you know that that's vanity. Now, the Bible said that this world is vanity. It's a mirror. But this isn't real, brethren. Now, I know that's hard for you to comprehend, but this world is temporal. Now, there's a scripture I could pull up, and it said that the things that we see are temporal, and the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, you want to be partakers of eternal life, is that right? Okay, so is eternal life seen or not seen? Now, we could say that eternal life is unseen, but that's going to kind of cross up with the scriptures that we're reading here, because this mystery, this unseen thing, this secret has been made to life or made to light or made to understanding when Jesus resurrected and he came forth from the dead. Now, the Bible goes on to say that he was the firstborn of many brethren. Now, here's the thing. There's a scripture that we could put up on the board, and it talks about in the resurrection. It said that, you know, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." Now, I know that was over there in 1 John where we read it. But we're the sons of God. The world does not see us of what we already are. But it says when he appears, that we'll appear just like him. And then the world will see us at what we always were. Not what we'd become. This is what we always were. Now see, faith, if we go back to Hebrews 11 and talk about faith. Faith, brethren, is something that's invisible to them, but we make a substance now. Now, to the people of the world, they don't have faith. So, see, if I'm going to take this thing that I'm telling you, I said, hey, death is the last enemy of God. It's abolished. Okay? And I stand before and I say, look, I'm eternal in the heavens. I'm eternal in God. I'm born of God. I cannot sin because I cannot die. And they're looking at me and saying, you know what, you're a man. They did that to Jesus. They said, we're going to take these stones and stone you because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. Because he was a man making himself to be God. Well, I'm standing here doing the same thing this morning. You say, you're a man. You're a man. No, you're no different than me. You're fat, you're ugly, you're going bald-headed, and you're no different than me. And I said, well, you keep on looking at the vanity. This is what the radio broadcaster said to Brother Pike. He said, sir, I'm looking at you, man. Your hair's, you're losing your hair. Your hair is gray. He said, do you still have your teeth, sir? And Brother George said, yeah, I do. He was looking, observing the vanity. He was observing the temporal thing. But here's a man speaking through this temporal vessel, through this temporal veil of flesh. He was speaking through this thing saying, sir, I've abolished death. Immortality, you know, has swallowed up mortality. The man couldn't comprehend it because he's natural man. He's a blind man. He could not hear. So now we're talking about faith. We're talking about a substance. The evidence, the substance is the evidence. Come on now. And you say, well, Brother Rob, the thing is you're telling me that you're a son of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Didn't say we're going to be sons of God. I said, beloved, now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that he shall appear, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Let's go on one more. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Let me stop there. That was the basic scripture that I was speaking on. And the thing is the world, when they see us standing with him, they're going to come to a revelation. Wow, old preacher Rob was right. Man, he was telling us the truth. He really is a son of God. He's really passed from death unto life. But what about those ones that don't get this same faith that I'm speaking about? If this is by faith, brethren, if this is by faith, do you have faith? Are you persuaded? Do you have a persuaded type faith? Do you have this unfinged faith or this sincere faith? You know, the Bible said we got to contend for the faith. Now, when you don't believe that you pass from death unto life, and when you don't believe that you cannot sin, then how could you say that you have this kind of faith? You don't have the faith in the works of Christ. It's his works that put you in this position. It's by his works. He said it's finished. He abolished death. Can you believe that? If you really believe that he abolished death, then you're not going to be walking in the fear of death. This world right here is so temporary. It's here for a moment and it fadeth away. It's like a vapor and a mist. It said the man is like a flower of the field. He comes up in his little glory and shines forth a little bit, and then he fadeth away. Come on now. That's what man is. Why do you put so much confidence in a man? Put the confidence in eternal life in Christ. Put your confidence in him. Put your confidence in what he said. He said that death was the last enemy of God. He said that he's abolished it. He said it's conquered. Amen. It's done away with. It's finished. It's over. Can you believe that? And if you can believe that, then you have faith, and the faith will bring forth, this faith is going to bring this as evident. Well, when is it evident? After this world is over? After this is gone? Well, let me tell you something. It's evident now. Let me tell you, because you see a peace that surpasses all understanding in a man or woman when they're walking in the Spirit. They're not relative to this world. You find that many leaders, many great forefathers, we could say, that when they were being put to death, even Jesus, when they kept pressing him about Lazarus being asleep, he said, okay, so be it, he's dead. So you're not altogether wrong to say, you know, and one of the people that called in on this radio thing, he goes, I think what this reverend's trying to say is that he's eternal, living forever, but that body's going to die. Well, the radio announcer spoke up and said, no, that's not what he's saying. He's saying he's going to have this body. And he said, well, he's an heir. But no, he's not. That's the purchased possession. That's the part that's redeemed, brethren. This body's going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This body is going to go through a metamorphosis. This body is going to go through the transfiguration. So what the preacher was saying was the truth. Now, there is a people and a generation, brethren, that will not go by the way of the grave. But the thing is they got to have what we have right now in the Spirit if they're not going to go by the way of the grave. Now, the thing is when people use these terminologies of rapture and different things of such, and they're not altogether wrong with some of their understandings, but they fail. They fail to differentiate or to put dimensions with it. they fail to do that. So when Paul exhorted, which I speak oftentimes, when he offered an exhortation, he said, I'd like to speak to you on the spirituals. I'd like to talk to you about these mysteries of God. I'd like to talk to you about these secrets that God has unveiled to me. I would like to share with you about how persuaded that I am that I've passed from death unto life and that I'm eternal in the heavens, that I'm hid away in Jesus Christ, that I'm sealed in, that I can't sin because sin's the sting of death, and I can't die because Jesus appointed me to this eternal life in Him. I am no longer a man. I am no longer in part that you're looking at. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this life that I now live, he said, I live by faith. Faith. You see, and you say, well, you know, faith could be make believe. Well, we just read about that. Some people had the hypocrite faith. Oh, I'm a son of God. It don't matter. I was talking to a man one time and he considered it faith. I was talking to a Calvinist one time. He considered it faith. He said, it don't matter if I go over here and sleep with this neighbor's wife. He said, I'm predestined in Christ and I'm living forever and it don't matter. That man's on his way to hell just for the thought. We got people that come out of this revelational doctrine with the same ignorant ideology. It don't matter. I know I passed from death unto life. I believe what Brother George Leon Pike said. I know that I'm eternal. I know I'm living forever, man. I could have women if I want women. I could drink if I want. I could snort if I want. Man, that kind of mind is on their way to hell. God said we're more than conquerors, amen. That means that I've come to conquer things of death. The carnal mind is death. That's a carnal mind that's speaking. When you're so carnal minded, you're speaking the word of God and saying that you could do the things that you desire of your flesh. You know, we can't just pick and choose scriptures, brethren. The Bible said, whoever we yield this member right here, this flesh, whoever I yield this to is who I'm of. And if I keep yielding it to the members of death, if I keep yielding it to the members of lust, if I keep yielding it to the minister or the yielding it to the members of pride and prestige and honor in those worldly fleshly things, then I'm of the flesh. And I'll die by the flesh. But if I have faith, if I'm persuaded in this faith, and I believe the word of God, and I believe what Jesus came, then I've received the power to overcome those things. And I'm in this earth not for my fleshly desires, not for my fleshly masculinity, not for I could live like I want and do what I want, as these guys are saying. They look at me and think, that poor brother Rob Coons is so bound in the law. He is so bound up. Man, he is just a Pharisee. You know, that's what they're saying, brethren. These things come. They try to rebuke me every chance they get. You know, but man, I've been liberated. Man, I could live like I want. I could do what I want because I come to the revelation that Brother George said that I can't die. I come to this revelation that, you know, and they're on there rebuking people on Facebook over the do's and the don'ts. I got to rip out a lot of New Testament Bible, brethren. It didn't say that, you know, he abolished death for us. Yes, Jesus done that. Okay, he put our name in the book of life, but it says that we got to contend for this faith, and we got to press our way into the kingdom of God, and we got to fight this good fight of faith. So where does this fight stop at? I listened to Brother Pike very closely. He was speaking, he said, as long as a man, as long as that spirit is dwelling in the member of that man, he said, it's a continual warfare and a fight against the adversary and the enemy. Now it gets easier, brethren. Let me help you out here for a minute. You that are worn and fighting, the Bible says you press in, you draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the heavenly fleas. Then you find this peace. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm in this constant battle and the swords are flying all the time and fighting, but we are in a continual warfare. But we got to have rest in this. See, the Bible said when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we're walking in a valley in a shadow of death right now, brethren. We might see thousands over here or 10,000 over on this side, but we got peace because we know that we can't die. So, as you've heard me say before, somebody could walk through that door with a double barrel shotgun and say, oh, preacher, you can't die. You're sitting here declaring to these people that Jesus abolished death and that you're eternal and you can't die. Well, let's see. And blast me. I'll tell you, double barrel 12 gauge, both of them at one time, it'd pick me up from right here and it would slam me into that wall and it'd be a really bloody mess. And that guy could walk out the door and say, yep, I knew that preacher was a liar. I knew he was a liar. But see, he's observing vanity, brethren. He's looking at vanity. That's not death. That is, see, to you it's death. But you see, I've already died. This is what that man doesn't understand. I've already died. Now, there's a second death. You say, well, what, if you've already died, what was that, the second death? I'll never see the second death, brethren. The only people who are going to see the second death are the carnal-minded people in this world. They're going to see the second death, the ones that don't know Jesus, because they have death in their members through the carnal mind. And they're going to be shown. See, as I say, I'm walking in life, they're walking in death. Now, I've quoted this scripture to you, and it says that there's these ones that are twice dead. Twice dead. We talk about twice being born or born again. Well, these are twice dead. And you say, okay, there's men that are walking in this earth right now that are twice dead, but they're still living and stuff. So what does that mean when they die and they take their last breath and they put them in a box? Is that their third death then, Brother Rob? I'm not understanding this. You see, brethren, in the spirit world, this is what you got to learn to understand. There's a spirit dimension, spirit world. I was here before the beginning. I'm talking about the Bible now. You see, you're living in a temporal, natural body, and you say, well, you were born in 1958. You know, I could hear my dad contesting. Well, you can't say, I was the one who brought you in this world. I was right there when your mother travailed and brought you out. And I say, I was here before the world ever was. What am I speaking by? The Spirit. I am speaking by the Spirit. If I speak by the flesh, I die by the flesh. But if I speak by the Spirit, I live. The Spirit is life. So I'm trying to get you to transition in the way you think, and you're supposed to speak by the Spirit of God. That's why Paul offered the exhortation. Although you're carnal, you're speaking out of a mind of death. You're speaking out of a mind of the lying vanity. You're speaking out of the temporal world. Now see, when the doctor comes to you and he says, young man, you know, you got death sentence. Young man, you're eat up with cancer. Young man, you got this blood disease. Young man, you got this, whatever it is. You know, and he says, you're going to die. I say, well, sir, you know, I can't die. See, a doctor ain't going to understand that. I've spoken to him more than one occasion, and they look at me like, dude, you're a stinking quack. You see, I don't have to receive the lie. Sickness is a lie. Disease is a lie. Death is a lie. I don't have to receive it. One might say, well, you know, I heard my grandma, man, and she had faith, and she said that God was going to heal her, and she died anyway. We're talking about Brother Pike preaching a doctrine, the same thing I'm trying to bring you to a revelation of this morning. You say, man, he's dead. He ain't dead. You don't understand the scriptures. This is like those two men that sat under him for 10 times longer than I did, and they're sitting there all out of whack and everything because the man died. And I'm thinking, man, you never heard anything he said. It isn't relative to this body. It isn't relative. It said, no man after the flesh. It's not relative to my hair falling out. It's not relative to my age. It's not relative to if it's gray or if it's black. It's not relative if I could walk or can't walk. This other world is not relative to this world. This world is a lie. This world's vanity. And you say, well, this is the only thing I know and the only thing I see. That's why I'm pouring my heart out this morning. Get your eyes off of this world. Get your eyes off the fleshly things and get your eyes on God. Look into the eternal things, the things that we could see by the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation. You see, because this is just here for a moment. God is fixing to shake your little planet that you live on for you could get a hold of this faith. Amen. The little things that some of you are holding on to is getting ready to get ripped out from under you. You know what? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord when some of you are smitten with cancer and some of you are smitten with tuberculosis and some of you are smitten with these death sins because you're not serious enough with God. And I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because it's going to cause you. The Bible said, ye that suffer in your flesh cease from sin. And some of you are going to have to go by the way of suffering because you sit in my services lightly esteeming the word of God. And you think, well, Brother Rob, would you really rejoice? I would rather see you suffer and shorten the number of your days as go to hell. Are you listening? I would rather see that. I would rather see you suffer. You see, there's a rebellious mind and a rebellious world that lays on some of you. And rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And you lightly esteem the things that you've heard all your life. You lightly esteem them. And your presence before the Lord is mockery when you lightly esteem God. It's mockery. You understand that? God is working with some of the youth in here in a mighty powerful way. Amen. They're starting to function in the anointing. Some are just gifted, and they really are gifted. And yes, God blesses it. The rain comes on the just and on the unjust. What is that saying? they're gifted and they could sing and play and stuff like that, and they're gifted enough that the anointing will come, because it comes on just and unjust. But there, some of them are being weighed in the balances right now. I'm talking about some of these kids that are up here are being weighed in the balances right now. And they're religious. Okay, they do love God. I don't question that. But they're leaning too much to flesh. Too much to flesh. And while they're leaning over this flesh, they're being weighed in the balances. And I'm telling you what, they don't understand how critical that is. I'm talking about some awesome kids now, guys. These children that you see up here, they've been unspotted from the world. They ain't been in drugs. They ain't been in alcohol. These little girls up here that are up here singing are virgins. Okay? Now you say, that's getting a little bit too graphic. I could talk in both dimensions if you'd like me to. You understand what I'm saying? The thing is, brethren, is that why do I speak like this? Because I know the craftiness of Satan. He deceived Eve. He came in and lured her through this deception. Lured her. And these kids, you think, well, I ain't seen no apple in no tree. Man, it's hanging before you. Knowledge and education is the apple in the country you live in. And I'm seeking after education. I'm seeking after this and I'm seeking after this. And we get caught up in a world. You see, let me tell you something. A man that's got a drug addiction don't faze me at all, because there's other things that are so far beyond that. Drug addiction is as simple as eating apple pie. Let me tell you something. You might live and go to this church and I ain't never drank, I ain't never smoked, I ain't never snorted, I ain't never fixed, I ain't never this. Look at that poor sucker, man. He's so ignorant, man. Got strung out on this and got strung. Let me tell you something. That one you're calling a poor sucker has got a lot better of a chance to make it in the kingdom than you do. And I mean that with all sincerity. Because of your much education in the Word of God, it makes you more accountable. And let me tell you something. A man, you take Brother Dan sitting back here, when he makes up his mind and says, I'm done, he's done. He's got that kind of strength in him. He's got to get into a supernatural strength. More so, but I mean, there's determination. I like to see determination even in a man. There's some people that are so flaky, they'll tell you this. You never know if it's going to be, well, I might if I feel like it, you know, this and that. That's no good. See, that's a double-minded man. And he's unstable in the spirit also, yes. When you see a man double-minded in his flesh, he's double-minded in the spirit, thus saith the Lord, every time. He just tossed to and fro by everything. But when a man makes up his mind, man, you know what? Smoking, it's this easy. Pew, shoot that thing, I'll never touch another cigarette. It's that simple. I'm telling you the truth, it's that simple. You war, why, man, I can't. It's because you don't want to. That's the only reason. Because you don't want to. Drugs, same way. I told that doctor, I said, man, I don't like this stuff. I'm off of it. And he goes, don't you tell me. He said, it'll take you 3 months of methadone treatments to get off this stuff. And I said, I'll be off of it in 10 days. And he laughed at me. But I said, I'm done. I didn't touch it. I done exactly what I did. And I went off. I went sick. Went through all kinds of travail. Went through hallucinations. Went through sleepless nights. But I didn't do it. I conquered it. Why? Because I made up my mind. You understand that? And the thing is, when I offer exhortation like this, brethren, we can see things that are so simple to get away with, but there's some things that aren't easy to get rid of. You see, a homosexual don't bother me. Man, he could cast that devil out and run that thing off and be done, be delivered. You see, but it's when you're playing games with God. And you claim to be a Christian. And you want to talk about Christianity a little bit. Not much, you know. I don't want to overdo it now. I don't like to talk about it too much, you know. The Bible commands us to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Amen. You know, and when we can't do that, there's something binding us. Something's got us bound to this world. Well, you know, so okay, I'm going to force myself to lift up my hands. Am I delivered now? No, but you need to start getting delivered now. You say, well, you're just too charismatic, brother. You know, you're too, you know, no, I'm not charismatic. My Bible says that he's the spirit of worship. We got to worship our Lord. You need to have a spirit of worship. You need to have a desire to say, I love you, Jesus. You should be thankful knowing that you would be in hell. Thankful knowing that you'd be in all of eternity and damnation. But you're thankful because he came and died for you when you wasn't worthy of anything. And we don't want to lightly esteem that. We don't want to mock that. We want to love the Lord. Brethren, we got to get real with this thing. We got to get real. We got some wonderful, 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 wonderful people here, adults and youth. I don't think there's a greater group of people in all the world, brethren, but we're still susceptible to spirits, demons. We'll be looking at something and he's snatching one of our children, snatching this away from us or taking that away from us. And we're all walking far below our privileges. Do you realize that? Can anybody contest that? I know I'm walking far below my privileges as a son of God. I know I am. So maybe I'm the blame. Maybe I'm the blame if I'm walking below my privileges while you're walking below your privileges. So then maybe we need to pray one for another. Maybe we need to say, well, wait a minute, brother. We need to get this thing right. I want to be right. I want to get this thing right myself. And we got to learn to see in the Spirit. We got to learn to see the invisible. We got to learn to desire the things from above. But we're desiring earthly things. When we're desiring earthly things, we'll never see the heavenly things. Let me unveil some things here just for a quick second. I understand young men seeking wives. I understand God put a desire for a man to have a wife, a woman to have a husband. I understand that when you get married, you get into travails and things. You got to have homes and different kind of things. We all have to have a place to live, right? Come on, I'm not for that. But the thing is we could seek after the kingdom of God and he add these things to us, or we could seek after these things and these things are death to us. You realize that? There's a difference. And I've said this before and I got Bible for it. One man's home could testify against him on the day of judgment, and another man's home testify that the Lord Jesus Christ is a provider. Well, which one is yours? Depends on the state of mind I'm in. What do you own that you wouldn't walk away from tomorrow if the Lord asked you to? You remember when the rich man came to Jesus? And he said, take and sell everything that you've got, give it to the poor and come follow me. The man said, whoa. Paraphrasing, if y'all bear with me a little bit. Just helping you to understand what was being done there. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, rabbi. Hey, teacher. Hey, you that's been out here raising dead and healing people and stuff. You want me to take? My daddy and my grandpa, I watched them struggle. I watched them slave. I watched them work to build up this thing. And you want me to take and sell all that and give it to the poor and come follow you? And you ain't even got a place to lay your head. You don't own nothing. And there's a lot of people don't like you neither, guy. And you want me to take and sell everything I got? You're the rich man. You're doing the same thing today. You want me to just come follow you? I've never even seen you. You want me to come give you my life? You want me to give you my substance? You want me to give you everything? And I don't even know who you are. You ain't got nothing for me. I got this world. I got the things of this world. I got me an automobile. I got me a home. I got me a job. I got me a career. What do you want me to do? You want me to give my life as a living sacrifice? Is that what you want, God? Come on now. And you sit and lightly esteem God. And he's looking at you with your beggarly elements of this world. And he said, you don't know what riches are. You don't know what housing is. That's what he says. Your car wears out. It goes to rust and decay. I got an old car over there in my garage. Holes all rusted in it. A 73 or 4 Ford Courier. And I think about back when I bought a brand new one, how pretty that thing looked to me. And I go and look at this thing. I say, yep, yeah, that's what that new car is going to look like. I remember another new car I bought one time, and man, 25 years later, I'm going down the road and I seen one on a crusher. Looked just like it. And I thought, wow, just think I was about ready to sell my soul to get one. Man, I gotta have it. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Oh, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. I gotta have it. Oh, and oh God, I gotta have this car. Oh Lord, it's this one. Oh God, I gotta have it. I'll do anything. Come on, I'm mocking you now. Well, I ain't never done that, brother. That's a stinking lie from hell. You get something in your spirit, it's in your heart, it's in your mind, it's in your spirit. You can't rest with it. You're thinking about it, you're reading about it, and this and that. And guess what? You'll make it happen. Because that's the power of God. Through carnality. There's books written on the power of positive thinking. I want to be that way with my God. Lord, I want everything that pertaineth to life. These things are vanity in this world. Oh, I got to have them. I got homes. I got cars. You know, I eat. It's very obvious. Come on now. Am I trying to get you out of a world? You see, you go out there and you don't work and you don't have a job, then you're going to get rebuked by the preacher saying you're worse than an unbeliever. You're worse than a wretched heathen if you can't support your own family. Ain't that what I say? That's what the Bible says. Well, where's the balance in this at? You see, the carnal mind is death. That's what the message is about today. It's about abolishing death. And when you keep thinking on the things of carnal, then that means that you're abiding in death. Well, Brother Rob, you know, I got to live. I got to have a place. I got to think on these things or I'll be worse than an unbeliever. I say, yes. But the thing is, there's a difference in owning a business and a business owning you. Come on now. There's a difference in owning a home and the home owning you. Some people get so burdened down, and I've been there. I'm rebuking myself today. I've been so burdened down with carnal things, brethren, that it's hard to find time to do anything for God. Because I'm so bound down to the natural things. So there's a balance. We need to learn that we put things away in the kingdom, we have them for eternity. The Bible said storing up things in heavenly places. So we store up all these things in temporal places. Oh, I'm going to have a house, I'm going to have a business for I can hand it down to my stinking, filthy, perverted family. Well, I don't think that way about my family. Well, get your eyes open and maybe it'll be that way. I've seen drug addicts just perish everything that their daddies and mothers saved for. They mom and daddy die and they get this inheritance and they squander it away. Boy, I'd sure like to have me $1 million, Brother Rob. I tell you what, preacher, if I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, I'd give you half of it. And I say, shut up, you lying devil. If you was going to give me half of your million, you'd give me half of your 100. Got to hold that, baby. What's the difference? Now, there ain't no person in here that if I said this to you, there ain't one person in here, but I said, you got a dollar? Yeah, give me a dime. Wouldn't think a thing about it. Not one of you. I say, you got a dollar? Yes, well, give me a dime, 10%. You got $1,000? Give me $100. Oh, God. Give me $100. Oh. I'm having a heart palpitation. Well, now you got 10,000. I say, give me a grand. Got 100,000. I say, give me 10,000. You know, you look at it totally different. But what is it in God? Nothing. You see, brethren, you need to receive the word and the message today for a reason. You need to differentiate because, you know, you say, man, Brother Rob, you're being hard on us. Good. You should say, thank you. You know, he needs to help me keep my flesh under subjection. He needs me to take you youth and you young people and you elder people the same. You need to be realizing that there's more than one thing using your brain up here. You know, when you've got your brain and it's working and functioning and working for you, that's dangerous. Because you start out reasoning God. Well, I know how to make this happen. Let me tell you, God does things in a peculiar way. You know, he was the guy that burns bushes out in the wilderness and they don't consume. Now, can you do that? Can you light a bush on fire and watch it burn there and talk to somebody out of the bush? And the bush doesn't burn up and go away? Come on. Can you dry up ground and lead millions of people across on dry ground and turn around and use the same dry ground and the water to swallow up the other guys? God does things differently. He does it different than you do it. He sends people to walk around and he sends an army in there with that had the weapons and the armory, had the shields and the swords, and they knew how to fight. I'll leave them at home. I want you to take a clay pot and a candle. Hey, like, dude, come on, I'm just being real with you. Hey, dude, what's this? I ain't leaving my sword nowhere. Some of you be so scared if you put your .45 away. Some of you be so scared if you took your rifle away. What do you got fear of? Why do you savor the things of the world? Why do you have to be so fleshly and so carnal? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Because if a gun gives you peace, you need to get born again. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm sorry. I'm not afraid of death. I see these people, I ain't going to let nobody steal nothing from me. I wouldn't shoot nobody for anything I own. You see, you're just carnal. You savor the things of the flesh, things of the world. That's your problem. Well, I ain't going to let somebody come in and take what I got. Well, Jesus came and gave everything he had. And I'll tell you what, when you give it, you'll win it back and gain it. When you give something away that's so precious to you, that's why he says to give your life as a living sacrifice, as your reasonable service. How many of you given your reasonable service to the Lord? How many really could say that I gave my life as a sacrifice? Come on now. How many of us can say that? Well, I've given you my life, Lord God. I've given you my home. I've given you my substance. I've given you my finances. I've given you my wife. I've given you my children. Lord God, I'm not making the decisions. I'm a child. And I got to become as a child to enter into the kingdom. Lord God, you make my decisions. I'm your servant. I'll go where you would have me to go. I'll be where you would have me to be. Come on now. People don't want to surrender that. Preachers don't want to surrender that. Well, you know, I really like it up there in Wisconsin. I think I'm going to go up there and start me a church. You don't make decisions where you're going to preach. You don't make decisions where you're going to go. We're the servants of God. I'd have aircraft mechanics walk in my shop. Well, you know, he come in the shop. Well, I'm going to do this. No, it didn't work that way. I was the manager. I ran that shop. And I said, look, I've done, you know, while you was out drinking last night, I was in the books. I know what airplane's got to be on the line first. I said, you're going to work on this airplane. You see, that's the way I ran a business. They didn't come tell me what they was going to do. Some of you guys that are called, call yourself contractors and businessmen have no respect for your contractors or subcontractors. And you're arrogant. It's going to cause you problems. You're arrogant. Well, there's so much work so plentiful right now. It wasn't too many weeks back, was it, that work wasn't plentiful. We had to tighten our belts a little bit. We had to back off a little bit. We had to have a little more faith. But you get right back into the same old arrogancy. But let me tell you, God's going to put a stop to it. And you're going to come to a place that you're going to have faith in God. You're going to have to trust Him when your government fails. And when your food stamps are cut off, you're going to start trusting God. You're going to start living by faith in God. God ain't pleased any other way. You must have faith. And if you're not going to contend for the faith or press for the faith, if you're not going to make things hurt a little bit and make it where you're having to trust Him and you're just walking through your intellectual mind and doing, well, I think I could appease God by doing this. I think I could appease Him by doing that. You better give Him your life, every bit of it. You better say, God, I'm done with making my decisions. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to submit to you. Brethren, come on, this is what it takes. We got to be real with Jesus. I'm in the same struggle. I ain't no different than you. You could look up here and say, God, preacher, you're tough on us. Hey, I got to walk in this thing too. Oh, yes, I'm a man just like you. There's a lot of things that my flesh would desire and like to do. A lot of things. But I got to kill him. I got to mortify. I got to kill Rob Coons out every day. I got to make sure that he's not making decisions. Say, here I am, Lord God. Use me. Amen. That's my desire, brother, and I know it's yours too. I won't ever make an apology for maybe speaking strong. I'll never make an apology for reproving if it's from the mind of revelation and the mind of God and the mind of Christ. The thing is if you feel like the message is strong, it's because you're in the flesh. But here's the ideology that, you know, and I hate to use that word, but this is what you should have as an idea. It's like, you know what? The preacher is right. And I'm a flesh man. And if I keep yielding to my mind and my flesh, and I polish it up and make it religious, I'll perish. And he's helping me to see this man for I could kill him. And he's going to help me bring alive Christ, the hope of glory in you. Christ in you. That's what you got to do, brethren. You got to let it be Christ. It's tough. I know that there's many people who make a presentation of this Christianity. Oh, you know, praise God, I said the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus in my heart. You know, and I got a goosebump and a little chilly willy. I don't know what a chilly willy is, but you got one. Okay. Oh, I'm mocking, I know. I told you I was closing a long time ago, but here's what I'm saying, brethren. There's a mind called the carnal mind, and it's death. There's another mind that the Bible said, let this mind be in you. There's also in Christ Jesus that thought it not robbery to be equal with life, equal with God, equal with eternity. Join heirs with eternity. Join heirs with God. So the thing is I'm saying it's a state of mind. Now you can say, well, I have this mind. But then yet when we see the manifestation of your dues and your deeds and all these kind of things, and it's not a manifestation. See, Jesus came and walked in this mind until they recognized the mind, and then they savored that mind, and then he went to Calvary. Because they saw it manifested. That's what you are. You are the manifestation of the sons of God. Or you're the manifestation of the son of perdition. Let's stand together. How many people can raise your hand with me this morning if you've conquered death?
Amen.
You say, well, Jesus conquered it for us, preacher. He's the one that conquered it.
Yes, he did.
And I say, well, let me tell you something. We have got to come to the faith that we, with him, through him, and in him, yes, could stand before people and say, I'm eternal in the heavens. I passed from death unto life. Death is abolished and conquered. I am eternal. I cannot die. I cannot sin. Amen. That's where we've got to come to. Amen. So the message, you could say, well, that's good. It's all right. You almost hit the mark. You know, we got to realize it has to hit the mark. Brother Pike walked out of the Father's house one night and he said, it's finished, brethren. He said, the revelation has hit the target. He knew that his work was completed. This was about a year before he passed. He knew that he had brought everything forth, he said, for the fulfillment of all things. You say, well, Jesus done that. Jesus did it, but still Peter had to have a revelation of what Jesus did, didn't he? Come on now. You got to have a revelation of it. And if I don't see the manifestation of the revelation in your life, you could tell me all the things you want me to hear, and you're just like we read this morning, your faith is hypocritical faith. It's make-believe faith. It's enough faith to make me think that you got faith. But that's not the faith that we're needing here. Unfeigned faith.
Unmovable.
Praise God. Feigned faith is hypocritical faith. Hypocrite faith. Actor's faith. I've seen people when it come right down to where the old worldly saying where the rubber meets the road. You know, and they got a problem, a real severe complication. And they say, oh man, Brother Rob, I got faith, man. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to stand with you and believe that. I'll never discourage them with that. But let me tell you something Brother Pike said. He goes, you know, I see some of you that's going to need a miracle, a $100,000 miracle. But then, yeah, he said, you don't got enough faith to get a pair of socks. Some people think they had faith to get substance, but they had a confidence in the love of God and a brotherhood, and they were begging for bread. Has anybody ever seen that? And they call it faith. We've had men show up in meetings before that went with no money in their pocket, and they didn't go in faith in God. They went in faith in a brotherhood, knowing that they're not going to let them sit in a cold truck all night or a cold car all night, and that they would take care of them. So, well, I'll get his motel room. Well, I'll go ahead and feed him. I'll go ahead and take care of him. And you say, hey, they went by faith, brother. Well, I won't argue that point. But was it the faith of God? Or was it a faith of what they saw in the brotherhood? What happens when the brotherhood arm cannot extend no more? But see, God's arm isn't short.
Right.
You see, we got to get into this faith in God. And this is what he allows to happen. Me as a pastor, God has put us in positions where we ran out of finances, we ran out of skills, we ran out of abilities, and we were at a place that the only thing we could tap into was God. And that'll prove your faith right there. If my flight instructor would shut the engine off, if my flight instructor would make me where I can't use the hydraulics and said you got to be in an emergency situation and pump it down by hand, emergency, it was trying to challenge me in my skill or in my ability to make me better. And the Bible said contend for that faith. And God is going to do things in your life, brothers and sisters, that's going to make you going to have to start getting real faith. You understand that? When things shut down, when a doctor says, I can't help you, I ain't got no medicine for this, it's incurable, you better have faith. But don't be afraid if you do shorten your days. Have your faith and trust in God that you're eternal in the heavens. You see, Brother Pike's in a box. He's in heaven, but that carcass is in a box. It'll come forth out of the ground as a new creature. It'll come forth out of the ground as a manifestation to say what's already happened. Brother Pike was already resurrected before you ever put him in that box. Are you understanding that? He was already resurrected. But see, some people won't believe that. But one day, in the moment, a twinkling of an eye, all those things are going to come together, and it's going to come forth out of that earth, out of the corruption, and he's going to be standing before people, and they say, "There's the resurrection." I say, "No, you missed it. It's done happened."
Amen.
That's why Jesus, before he went to the cross of Calvary, and they come to him when he was on his way down to Lazarus' tomb, they ask him, they said, "Are you talking about the resurrection?" Jesus said, "What? What did he say?" He said, "I am the resurrection." You're saying you're looking for a resurrection, and I'm standing here telling you, I am the resurrection. Are you with me?
Amen.
If you are born again, son of God, you are the resurrection. The Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. We're joint heirs in Christ. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We are part of his many-membered body. That's because we are the resurrection.
Amen.
We are the children of light. We are the children of life. We are the children of day. The Bible said there's children of night and there's children of day. I am a child of light. The child of darkness will die in the darkness of carnality. Okay, sing for Sister Randy. We got to close. Come on, Sister Randy, sing. Y'all love the Lord. Let's sing a song and we'll close the service. The altars are open this morning. If you aren't here with us this morning, Shama Siti Dianda Hatalio Kotoro Masandre Kejese Tiri Makila Makaso Mohundana Hashiti Hindi Makishina Lamasetre He Makete Hindi Masandre Maso Lamasia. We love you, Jesus. Oh Lord, help us, Lord God.
It's not too
help us, Jesus. Teach us, Lord God. Oh, let us have a heart and desire on you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
This is all I have.
You know, brethren, I preach strong. It sounds like you're often reproved and rebuked. The Bible said he chastens them that he loves. I trust it's the Lord. I commend you as a wonderful group of people. Amen. I'm off down and join a camp meeting. You guys are on a church job laboring all night long and working. I thank you for those things and I appreciate you. And I give honor unto you. Amen. And yes, that's part of sonship. That's part of Christianity. That's your part of showing, hey, I'm part of this thing. And I thank you, brethren, for that. But brethren, we gotta exercise faith and we gotta make sure that we've got this strength when we're called upon. When we're called upon. You know, I use aviation a lot, but one day my dad, I landed the airplane and he jumped out the door and he said, "Take it, son." You know, and all of a sudden it's time to put to the test, the training. You know, and God's saying, "Hey, you've been educated. You've heard the word. You've been partakers of this word of God. It's time to put this to the test. It's time to see if you've got the goods." Amen. You know, if I was training to be boxers, I'm going to put you in a boxing ring with a sparring partner. And if he busts your nose, I'm going to say, "Hey, too bad, son, you were trained." If you're not accustomed to a good old knock upside the head, you ain't going to make it. So let me tell you about your Heavenly Father. He's going to knock the snot out of you. How's that for terminology, huh? You say, "I don't think he'd do that." I think he loves you enough to knock the snot out of you, teach you how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Well, I don't think you should talk that way. Well, you talk the way you want, and I'll talk the way he wants me to. And I think you can understand that language, huh? You just like that polished little preaching, you know. And, well, you know, I ain't polished. I can't even read them words like he's talking about in there. If you want a polished preacher, man, I'll give you a bus ticket to Joel, baby. All right. Let's sing "All Praise Him." I'm closing. I love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We'll praise Him
will pray. We don't need to be heavy in our spirit this morning. There should be a breakthrough in this church. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you that I passed from death unto life. I thank you that I'm living forever. I thank you, Lord God, that I can't die. I thank you, Lord God, the word is real. I thank you, Lord God, that death is abolished. I praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I thank you for this peace, Almighty God, that surpasses all understanding, that I'm eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given me all of this. Praise God. I feel pretty good, Ed. I'm not looking for feeling good in the flesh. I'm looking for walking in the Spirit with the power and the strength to run through an army. Hallelujah. To leap over a wall. Hallelujah. I'm looking for strength, enduring power to endure to the end. I'm looking for fellow soldiers in Christ that are ready to fight the good fight of faith, to endure all the way to the end. I'm not looking for numbers in a church. I'm looking for men, amen, that have the power and the authority over the serpent, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You love him? Hallelujah. We'll get Brother Bob up to dismiss us. Let's praise him, saints.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.